So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. 2 John, verse 1 down to verse 11. The Bible says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again today, it has been a blessing just to be here this morning. Thank you for meeting with us, for your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already experienced. But God, now as we look into this passage of Scripture, I know that you have led us here today, and I believe that this is a message that you have for each one that's here. Pray that you'd give us all that ear to hear exactly what you have to say to us individually. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message, the message that you have for your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. John, who wrote the Gospel of John, who also wrote the book of Revelation, God worked through John to do that, wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and tremendous books of the Bible. But John writes in this second epistle of John to an elect lady and her children. Verse 1, it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children." Now, that elect lady is basically saying that this is someone that has been saved. This is someone that has answered the call of God upon their lives, received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. She's a follower of God through Jesus Christ. Possibly, she was a single mother trying to raise her children for God. We don't have any indication that there's a husband here. We don't know exactly how old the children are. If she has some that have already gone out and she has some still in the home, we don't know that. But we know that Paul writes to her and wants to encourage her in the Lord. She and her children knew of God's truth and were living according to it. We do know that. In verse 4 it says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." She'd done a great job. Praise the Lord for it. And so they have received this truth, and they are now living according to what they have been taught concerning God, concerning Christianity. That's what it's revealing to us here. It says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." This is what God's commandment is, that we walk according to the Word of God. In verse 7, John warns of the deceptions in this world, and also of the false teachers and of the Antichrist doctrine that was even prevalent then, which is much more prevalent today. And verse 7, he says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So he's presenting to her a warning of the deceptions in the world, and talks about the idea of the antichrist, the false teachers as well. If you look down to verse 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ," and he's saying, if they're not following after what Jesus Christ established, if they're not teaching the very doctrines that Jesus himself taught, "whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." They're not sent from God. They don't know God. They're antichrist. "He that abideth in this doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." If we have the doctrine that Jesus Christ established and left for us, then we have both the Father. He is our Heavenly Father, and we have Jesus as our Savior, the Son. He says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house." Means that they're going to come, and they're going to come by way of trying to get into your own home. Now, we have some that might do that by trying to knock on doors and come around and try to present a false doctrine to you. But I think more so today, what's happening is they're coming into our houses by way of television. And whether you realize it or not, you're allowing certain things that we are presenting to our children on television to become part of an acceptance of lifestyle. We have to be careful about that. And he talks about that. He talks about, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." I think too many young people this morning are watching the things on television that are presenting to them an ungodly of acceptable behavior. How we behave as a family. How this acceptable behavior between a child and not honoring their mom and dad. How we accept the different immorality and the relationships of life. And how that we are even watching some things and we're pulling for this person to leave his wife or her husband and follow after somebody else. And all the different things that are going on. I mean, things that are presented to us on television today are not from the Word of God. I guarantee you that. And we have to be careful of that. And so he's saying that. He's warning this lady and her family, her children, about the false doctrine, about deceptions and that are in the world today. And even so, much more today. There's much more deception in the world today. And there's a lot of other false doctrine taking place as well. "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." You're following right in line with what Satan's trying to do in deceiving the world. Especially even believers. Well, what I'm going to preach from today, that's just to understand the passage of Scripture that we've just read. But look at verse 8. Knowing this is what he's warning her about and everything that's taken place, and he is commending her for her stand for Christ and how that she has the truth and she's living by the truth and her children are now living by the truth, and what a great blessing that is. But he says to her, knowing all this is around us and knowing there's great deception in the world and knowing there's a lot of false doctrine in the world, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Paul was concerned for her. I believe he was concerned for her children. And Paul even uses "we." I think he was concerned for his own service to God. No doubt Paul was the one that God worked through to possibly lead this lady to the Christ, to establish a Christian home. And he was doing the work that God had him to do. And because of that, Paul knew that there was rewards for faithful service. And Paul knew that she would have rewards as well. And so he did not want her to lose out on the rewards that God would have for her. He did not want her children to lose out on the rewards, the blessings of God that he would have for them. Nor did Paul want to lose out on the blessings that he had for him for doing the work that God had called him to do. Do you see that there in verse 8? I think that's very evident there. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. We've been working toward the truth of God's word and living according to that truth, that we receive a full reward. God blesses those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those. God rewards us for a faithful service. God rewards and blesses works. Praise the Lord for that. And so he desired for them and himself to receive a full reward. What things God had for them, rewards here on this earth, because God does reward us on this earth. Praise the Lord for that. He does. And we'll see some verses that verify that. God wants to bless us here. And God has rewards for us in heaven, which are the most important rewards because those are eternal rewards. There's much scripture. Jesus taught much about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven based on our service on this earth. So we know that. So what I want to preach to you this morning in verse 8, and the message, if I would title this message, would be the very same warning that Paul has for this lady and her children. Don't lose what you have. Do not lose what you have. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The work that they had been doing, God wants to bless you for that work here. And then because of that work, you have treasures in heaven. Don't lose those. Don't lose those. The first thing that I want to present this morning concerning that is, do you know what you have? Can I tell you that we all have more than what we realize? I guarantee you, if you have the blessings of God upon your life and you have what God has for you in this life, you have more than what you realize, because the world and the flesh and the devil are working to blind you to what God has blessed you with. I think that's what he's talking about there. There's a lot of deceptions in this world, and Satan works through the world, and he works through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and he has all this to work with. And what he would love to do is to blind us to the blessings that God has bestowed upon us here and the eternal blessings that we have to look forward to. And if he blinds us to those things, then he has a good chance of getting us to turn away from the things of God and turn to the things of the world. So he says, lady, and your children, don't lose what you have. The first, as I looked at this, what do I have? Something that if you have it, you cannot lose it. Praise God that he has sealed it. You didn't do anything to get it. Jesus did it all on the cross of Calvary. The blood that we sang about this morning is through the blood that we have salvation. It's a free gift. It's what God has given. Jesus paid the price that we could not pay. But if you have believed in him and you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have this gift that God's given to you that you cannot lose. Verse 1 and 2, he says to her, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Jesus is the truth. He's the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when we receive him, he comes into our hearts and he dwells within us. And so we have the truth within us. And as we receive Christ and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that he sends, and he seals us unto the day of redemption. Amen. There's so much in the Bible that tells us that we have everlasting life through Jesus Christ, and not of our own and what we have done, but what he has done for us. And then he offers that to us as a gift, that once you have received the gift, you can't lose it. I was witnessing to a man, and I was talking to him about salvation, and he says, "Oh, you're one of those once saved, always saved. You're one of those who believe that you can go out here and live however you want to live and still go to heaven." He was being pretty sarcastic, and I said to him, "Well, not really. I'm one of those that just simply believe God. I'm one of those that believe what the Bible says. I believe that God says what he means, and he means what he says. And when he tells me that I'm sealed into the day of redemption, when he tells me that I have everlasting life and it's a gift of God, then I just believe what God says. I'm not one that believes you can go out here and live and do whatever you want to do and go to heaven. I believe when you get saved, he changes your desires. I believe when you get saved, then you have a different desire to do the things that God would have you to do. You can still do the other things because we have a free will, but you can't do those other things with the Spirit of God dwelling within you without conviction and without chastisement. Because God deals with us as with sons, because we're his children. So praise the Lord for, yes, the idea to know that I'm saved. And if I know that I'm saved, I can't lose that. Not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about don't lose what you have concerning the rewards that God has for you, concerning the blessings that God has for you. Salvation cannot be lost if you have it. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 15, we find that Paul writing to the church at Corinth and helps them to understand this as well. He talked about their works and talks about all that takes place with their works and how that they're building upon what Jesus has established. But in verse 15, he says this, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." Loss concerning your works. "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Because we're not saved by works, lest somebody's going to boast about that. We're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's what God's given to us. But we can lose the blessings of God that are connected to works. We cannot lose salvation. Once you're saved, according to the words of God, you have been sealed and you have everlasting life. But let me tell you something. If you have it, you have something that most will not receive. Did I hear you right, preacher? According to the Bible, if you have it, you have something that most on this planet Earth will not receive. Not that they don't have an opportunity. God will make an opportunity. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance. All should come to the place where they will acknowledge their own sin, understand that Jesus died for them, and have an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Matthew chapter 7, it's what Jesus taught. The most will not receive. Matthew chapter 7. If you have this, don't have to worry about losing it if you have it. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the very last chapter of this great message that he was presenting, he presents this, verse 13. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." That's the way of religion. My goodness, anything goes in religion today. Immorality. You can find a religion that will tell you it's all right to live however you want to live. Whatever lifestyle that pleases you, you can find a religion that tells you it's all right. That's false doctrine. That's not the doctrine of Christ. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So many are going in this direction in religion and in their own world, their own worldly philosophies, and living however they feel like they can live and should live, and without any kind of judgments. Many go in that direction, and that's a very wide gate. But there's very few that's really going in the direction that God says, based on my truth. And this is a very narrow gate. God is not going to compromise what he says concerning how we ought to live our lives. He's not going to change his mind from one generation to the next. And then on down, if you look at verse 21, he says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you're saved, you're going to have something inside of you that's going to lead you to serve God, going to lead you to understand the truth. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You were doing that on your own and following whatever religious crowd that you were following. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's just what the Bible says. That's just not what the Baptists say, although that is what the Baptists say. But it's because it's what the Bible says. And so what God has established as his word, truth. It's the truth. Just because you don't believe it does not change the truth. It's Bible. It's what God says. It's what we are to live by and apply to our own lives. Praise the Lord that I can't lose it. But you ought to make sure that you know that you have it. What do I have? Well, I have this salvation, this everlasting life. I have God as my heavenly Father. As he speaks to this lady, he tells her that for the truth's sake and dwelleth in us and with us, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father. You have God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. We have a heavenly Father. Think about that. When you know who God is, he created all things. The world's not going to tell you that. The world's going to tell you you evolved into where you're at. But when you know the truth about who God is, the creator of all things, and to know that this creator of all things wants me to be his son, be his child. And in Christ, when I get saved, I'm adopted in the family of God. Yeah. And to know that I have a creator God that wants me to address him as my heavenly Father. Yeah. That's a blessing. Amen. That's a reward. Yeah. A reward to know that my salvation is secure. A reward to know that I have a heavenly Father that loves me, that proved it by sending his only Son to die for me. Not only to know that I have a heavenly Father, but to know that I have access into his throne. Access into the throne of God comes by way of prayer. I can boldly come into his throne. By knowing that I'm his child, to know he's my heavenly Father, and he's given me a tool that I can communicate with him. And so at any time, as a son looking to the Father, I can come into his very presence and cry out. And what father would not want to give his son what he needs? Jesus even says that. I not only have him as my heavenly father and I have access to his throne, I also have his conditional and unconditional promises. There are certain promises that are just, they're mine. Unconditional. If you come unto me, call upon name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Unconditional. You just have to believe and receive. Conditional. If you abide in me and I abide with you, you can ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. That's conditional. That means I can't do that without abiding in him. We have to make sure that we separate the conditional promises and know what those conditions are and the unconditional promises, but they're a blessing. It's what God has for us here in this life. Well, understand what I have. What, then the next thing is, looking here, then what can I lose if I have it? Verse 1 and 2 and verse 6, we find that the fellowship with God is based upon living according to his truth. Fellowship with God is conditional. Salvation is not based upon just belief and reception. You have it, unconditional. Fellowship with God is conditional. We have many promises as far as what fellowship with God brings, but it is conditional promises. For the true sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And verse 6 says, and this is the love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. That's conditional. If we would look over here to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. No matter what you say, if you're living in sin, you're not fellowshipping with God. Because if you're fellowshipping with God, it demands that you walk in this truth. You live according to his word, according to his will. In Mark in chapter 10, let me just read it to you. You can mark these verses down, go back to them afterward. But Mark in chapter 10 in verse 29 and 30, he says this. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. You don't sacrifice anything for God. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. So he tells them that the fellowship of God is something that is not automatic. Salvation is automatic. It gives you an opportunity to have fellowship with God. If you don't have salvation, then you are dead to God. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. But once you have received Jesus as your Savior, then you have now opportunities to walk with God, to fellowship with God. And that's part of the blessings, the rewards of living by the truth and doing the will of God is I have this reward in this life, fellowship. Along with fellowship, I have spiritual discernment to know what's right and wrong. That comes by way of fellowship with God because his spirit will bear witness with my spirit. Give me discernment. It comes by way of contentment. If I know that I have fellowship with God and I'm walking, I have learned. No matter what's going on around me, if I have fellowship with God, I have all that I have need of. For God before me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter who's against you. You have God, the Creator God, that's for you. No matter what trial you're going through, no matter what valley, no matter what storm, if you have fellowship with God, you have what you have need of. And that will bring a contentment even in the midst of the storms. Even when you find out that you have cancer. Even when you find out that you lost your job. Even when you find out some of your loved ones left you. If I have God, God can give me a peace that passeth all understanding. God can give me a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. But you have to have fellowship with God to have those blessings from God. Don't lose them. That's what he's telling this lady. That's something you can lose. And the way you're going to lose it is by following these false doctrines. By letting these things into your house, it's going to convince you it's all right to live this way. It's all right to do this. It's all right to do that. And you don't have to go to church. And you don't have to pay tithes. And you don't have to do this. And you don't have to do that. And before you know it, you're turning away from the truth. And if you're turning away from the truth, you've turned away from God. And turn away from God, you're turning away from the blessings that you have in God. Don't lose those. Don't lose those. John warns, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things. Can't tell you how many times in counseling I've sat down with a man in tears. I've sat down with women in tears, saying the same thing. I didn't know what I had till it was too late. Now I realize I lost the most important thing in my life. I lost my husband. Or I lost my wife. Because I didn't appreciate what I had, and I thought there was more out there. I thought that there was something better for me out there, and I wanted to give myself to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the pride of life because somehow or other the world had influenced me that there was more out there than being faithful to my spouse. Being faithful to my family. And I went that direction. I didn't realize until I'd already lost the most important thing in my life. God's will for my life and my wife. God's will for my life and my husband. My home life, my family, my place of refuge. All gone. Sitting across and tears in their eyes saying, what do I do? What do I do now? I don't know if that can ever be regained or not. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I find it often, though, that Satan works. And I see it so vividly. When one wants to make it right, the other does not want to make it right. Then after a period of time and things, the one who didn't want to make it right now wants to make it right, but it's too late. The one that wanted to make it right to start with now doesn't want to make it right. It's always that way when Satan has room to work in a person's life. Don't let Satan work in your life. Don't lose the blessings of God in a godly marriage. Don't lose the blessings of God in your home, your family. Don't lose the blessings of God in your church. I've had people that come back after moving away because of a job advancement. They didn't seek out to find that there was a good church where they were going. And they got there and they got their family out of church and then they lost their marriage. And I've had them come back and said, preacher, I wish I'd never left Indiana. I wish I'd never left the lighthouse. What do I do now? Better be thankful for what you have. But hold on to what you have. Don't lose what you have. There's also rewards and glory, I believe, that we can lose. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm almost done here. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul says this about looking forward to the rewards and glory, the crowns. He says in verse 7 and 8, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because he did all that through these works, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. When you're faithful to the end, and the end comes, there's a crown of righteousness. There's a reward in heaven. I don't know. I can't tell you exactly what that's going to be, but I can tell you this. In heaven, you're going to want it. You're going to want it. Don't lose it. Don't run away from God and where you force God's hand to have to take your life prematurely. You're not going to have that reward. You're not going to have that crown. You could have had that crown. Crown of righteousness is those that finish the course. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. How do we keep it? How do we keep what we have in Christ? In closing, verse 8. How do we keep that which we have in Christ? He tells us not to lose it. Not to lose it. But to keep it. I think she knew. Verse 8 again, it says, look to yourselves. It's something that only you can keep. Look to yourselves. Your husband can't keep it for you. Your wife can't keep it for you. Your preacher can't keep it for you. But he's saying, lady, there's a lot of deception in this world. A lot of false doctrine in this world. Don't lose it. How do I keep from it? Look to yourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think he explains to her and to us what that is. When Paul writes and he says to Timothy in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know what's truth. Don't be deceived. You know what's right. Don't make compromises. Don't make excuses for your wrong behavior. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Look to yourselves. Allow God to work His will through you. That's how you keep it. Surrender. Not my will, but thy will. Surrender to whatever God would have you to do. Don't lose what you have. You have to know what you have. You have to know what you can lose and what you can't lose. And the things that you can lose, make sure you put up all of the safeguards that God would have you to. Stay focused on what you have from God, the truth, and give yourself to it. Don't lose what you have. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you have it? If you have salvation, you have something that most will not receive. It's according to the Scriptures. There's a lot of people that claim, Lord, Lord. Jesus said, why say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You're really not looking to me as your Lord. You don't really have salvation. You have a form of godliness, but you're denying the very power of it. Do you have salvation? Do you know you have salvation? If you have it, you can't lose that. But you can lose all the blessings that are associated with it in this life and the life to come. Don't lose what you have. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. I pray, God, that you would now speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. Help them to know what decisions need to be made right here, right now, today. Blessing this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.